Hey there, everybody. Welcome out to another episode of Redeemed Through His Blood. Scott Durfee here, as always, joined by the lovely Deborah Durfee. Why are you laughing?
Oh, just because the way you look at me and you say that. I just want to say hello, friends. Hi, everyone.
She's laughing because it took me like five tries to get that right tonight. I hope that's not a sign, babe, of things to come tonight. So
hey, we're just sinners helping the sinners.
and we have the magic of edit, so hopefully we won't have to do too much of that tonight. But hey, I'm not going to be surprised.
We're off to a good start.
Something like that. Well, here we are. It's been, 10 days or so since a podcast has been released. We're going to try and get in a little better rhythm than that. We're going to try and get in a little better rhythm, or more frequent rhythm, probably, with school starting here in the U.S. and maybe other places across the world as well. But for now, it's been about a 10-day between each episode pace. We'll probably try and close that to about 7 days between episodes.
The truth is, we're just not that organized. Let's just get honest.
Why you got to do that?
I'm just going to puke some truth here.
Yeah, that's about right.
Too. We don't need excuses. The truth is we're not that organized.
We got some good news, though, didn't we? The other night, we ran into a friend, an old friend who's been on the podcast.
Yeah.
And you'll remember. In fact, I'll probably publish his episode here in another week or so. Maybe I'll do it between episodes, or maybe I'll be lazy and do it in lieu of one that we would otherwise record. But our good friend Nick, he was on a couple years ago, I think. He's a recovering addict, alcoholic. Phenomenal story. Just an amazing story.
Great guy, too.
Young man that I have an opportunity to be really close to in the groups of recovery and various things. But anyway, he'll be on. Surprise episode. He's got some great news. Some great, wonderful things have happened in his life. I'm not going to divulge what those are. We'll let those all come to be when we have him on here. But I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and it was so great to see him. He's doing so great.
Yeah, I have the opportunity to talk to him every week. Yeah, luckily.
I don't get to see him like you do, but it was so good to see him. Just such a great guy. Fellow friends helping fellow friends. It's just good when you see somebody that's, you know, doing their best, and they lift you. They make you want to be better.
We've had so many examples of that in our lives lately.
Yeah.
Right. We had a young lady that her parents are in Armenia.
She was my young woman. I remember when she was a little beehive, we went to girls camp.
Her mother served as the Relief Society president when I was the Elders Quorum president.
Great family.
Her dad and I are very close friends, and they've been in Armenia, where their home country, serving a mission.
Her parents and her brother.
Mm-hmm. Actually, also. So she called up and said, "Hey, it's time to go back to school. I need a father's blessing." And I was very honored to stand in proxy for my good friend Arthur and do that. Pretty tender.
Oh, we just love
pretty stolen. Tender little experience. You know those instruments of grace. It's just so cool, babe, to have that in our lives.
Went to a lovely farewell yesterday. Yeah. Our nephew Corbin.
Yeah.
Such a great, great kid, and so ready to go out and serve out in Mexico. We're just surrounded with great people.
Well, we are also at the point where we're between semesters.
Institute,
right? How do you feel about that? Honestly, be honest.
Oh, I'm actually relieved. I am not the go fight winner on the let's go teach institute. Hooray. I am the drag behind Scott.
Yeah, well, that's not true.
I love it when I'm there. I do love it when I'm there. But getting there sometimes after working a long day at work and I come home and I'm like,
our work situations are a little bit
sometimes are just a little overwhelming.
Different.
I'm on the truth meter today. You're going to get.
So speaking of the truth, we kind of wrapped up last week all of the effects, the conditional effects, and we did the unconditional effects. And I know that there's more, but Deb, I'm ready to move past that. I'm ready to move past some of that deeper doctrine. And one of the things that has really been on my mind heavy for the last few days, I'm in a process of repentance. I have had an awakening. You know, one of the things that we do in Alcoholics Anonymous or in the rooms of recovery is we take personal inventory. And I've been pretty good at that over the years. In fact, if you'll go back a couple years ago, probably on several episodes, David and I would actually talk about that. And I'd kind of let it slip a little bit. I haven't been taking my personal inventory. I've been kind of, honestly, as we say in the rooms of recovery, kind of resting on my laurels, spiritually and otherwise, you know. And when that happens to me, I kind of get off the beam, is what we call that.
Yeah.
And I've been a little bit off the beam, so I'm in a bit of a process of repentance. I'm trying to get out of the way. I'm trying to move myself out of my own way and re-engage and really do the things that we talk about on here. You know, the thing that's really kind of difficult sometimes is I come on here, we come on here, we talk about these wonderful things, and it's true, and I love them, but living them is sometimes different for me.
Yeah, knowing's not enough. Yeah. I know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I know the right answers, but am I living the right answers? No, not always. Right. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's hard. It is really, really hard.
Yeah. So you know what I'm grateful for today? Second chances. Daily repentance.
Finding the joy in daily repentance.
Opportunity to turn to Him, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Finding joy in daily repentance. And anyway, so there you have it. You know, that's where I'm at. That's where I've been. And I've been really reflecting yesterday, specifically on the airplane coming home from Chicago after I'd heard Corbin's talk. And I had had some, you know, prayerful experiences the night before in the hotel there and, you know, various things. And as I'm coming home, I'm just so grateful. You know, we talked about in the past when sometimes we get in those spots and we recognize our fallenness and we, rather than bow our heads in shame, you know, to bow our heads and just say, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of your Son.
Yeah. And that was a big adjustment for me, too.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't always thankful. I picked up the shame card or shame hat and put it on and wanted to hide.
Hide, yeah.
Literally. It's like, I don't want anybody to know what just happened or what I did or what I thought or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, I definitely don't do this 100%. I don't do it right. I mean, and again, knowing is just not enough. I mean, I love the feelings that we get when we get in a deep scripture, you know, study and meditation. And I love how I feel. But to take that into the real world for me and to apply it, come unto me in every thought, doubt not, fear not, is impossible for me. I will tell you that because I've put effort into it.
Yeah,
I can't do it. It's. I'm trying. I am trying. But I will tell you, it is very, very difficult when life gets in the way, when, you know, I'm at work or if I have other distractions, people driving. I mean, I easily get derailed.
Yeah.
And I think of Martha, Martha, you're encumbered about. And Deborah, Deborah, I am encumbered about. For sure.
Well, sometimes this stuff in life, though, is real. We can't trivialize it.
True.
You know, I mean, there's some real stuff. I mean, real stuff that you and I and some of our listeners go through. And, you know, they can have to do with families and they can have to do with, you know, choices
work.
That family are making that, you know, you see and you know the kind of consequences and the kind of cause and effect that come from choices and decisions decisions that have been made in the past that are now bearing the fruit of consequence.
Yeah.
Oh, my word. I bow my head and say thank you. Thank you for the atonement of your Son because, I just don't know how we could do it. I've tried. I mean, you know,
it's overwhelming. It truly is overwhelming.
Right.
Like I've shared before, you know, I like to control things and I still like to control things.
Yeah.
And there are times that I have to like lift my hands up and in a surrender mode and just go, not my will, but thine. There's days I get overwhelmed and frustrated and it's. Easy to remember what I'm supposed to do, but not easy to remember to do it. Not easy to do it.
It's hard to be in the world and not of the world, right?
100%.
I had a great experience though in Chicago, you know, working there, and it's so many great people. I love what I do for my career and all of that. But you know what, Deb? New York last week, Chicago this week, I'm tired.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I'm tired. I get beat down, and when I get beat down, and these are some of the things that maybe we can talk about tonight. You know, when I get beat down, there's a couple of things that I need to be careful of. When I get beat down and when I feel hungry or when I feel angry or when I feel lonely or when I feel tired.
It's the halt. Hungry, angry, lonely, tired.
That's right.
Halt. Stop.
That's right. That's when I feel susceptible to the accuser, yep. To the accusations of the accuser. Because
yep.
I'm being accused. You know, I get it. I know that I can put forth better effort. I know all of that. But here's the thing, the accuser wants me to believe that I'm really messed up, that it's just, and eventually just throw in the towel. What I'm super grateful for, and next week and maybe even a little bit this week as we start talking a little bit about faith maybe, what I'm super grateful for is to know that it's really not my effort that counts. I mean, my effort counts in terms of alignment with Him. But it's not my effort that redeems me.
That's the all you can do part. you just need to align. Yeah.
Yeah, repent.
It's, yes, yes.
Repent. And, be willing. And by repent, I don't mean run to my bishop and say, Bishop, I'm having these thoughts of discouragement or whatever it is, you know. That's not, that can be one of the manifestations of repentance. We'll get to all that later. I'm kind of going down a rabbit hole there with repentance. But repentance, let's just suffice it to say that when I use that word repentance, I'm really just talking about when He makes the invitation, come unto me, to respond to that invitation to come unto Him.
That's the comforting part, is just to know that's it. Just come unto me.
And that's, for me, the important part. You know, because if I have to earn my way back, I just am not going to do it. There's just no possible way I can, and I've tried, and I try to check all the boxes, and I try to cross all the T's and dot all the I's, and invariably, I am going to be human. Invariably, I am going to succumb to the accusations and believe them sometimes. It just happens for me.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't think I'm alone. No. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's one of those things that we feel like we earn, you know, we'll earn our way.
I guess that's kind of my point. Yeah. Yeah.
I love that quote from, I can't even remember who it is, Adam Miller. Can I read that?
Yeah. Have you got it there?
Yeah.
This is a quote from Adam Miller. This quote comes from, I think it's from a letter to a young Mormon.
Yeah.
Something like, is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I love this.
Yeah, I love this too because it gives me peace and it makes it easier for me to bow my head and say thank you. Keeping the law doesn't earn you heavenly merits, and breaking the law doesn't earn you hellish merits. Both merits and demerits are about you. The purpose of the gospel is to point you away from yourself, free you from the self-obsessed burden of your own story, and center you on Christ. You don't need to generate merit in order to be saved. You need instead to come unto Christ and rely wholly upon the merits of Him who is mighty to save. That's it. There's a scripture in 2 Nephi 31:19 that talks about that. And we can read it when I'm done with this quote. The gospel points wholly to Christ and His grace. Keeping the law of the gospel is the work of relying on Christ's merit, not the work of generating your own. This is still hard work, but it is work of an entirely different kind.
Keeping the law of the gospel is the work of relying on Christ's merit, not the work of generating my own.
Yeah, because we think... It's like the choice and consequence thing.
Yeah.
It's like, if I do a good thing, then I get a good consequence. If I do a bad thing, I get a bad consequence. As carnal and humans, we believe that that's the way that we earn our way back. We don't earn it. Also, the scripture in the middle of that was 2 Nephi 31, 19, and I just want to read that really quick, just because I feel like it applies. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into this straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far to save it, were by the word of Christ with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that scripture. There's so many, though, in Second Nephi that talk about Christ's merits. Is that your favorite one, the one you just read?
Or that's
just
the one that was quoted with this,
oh,
this
Adam
quote.
Moore. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. I mean, do I have a favorite? To be honest, no. I don't know enough to have a favorite.
I love that scripture, Deb. I love this scripture, too. This is Lehi speaking to his son Jacob, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he's talking to Jacob and about how he needs to, you know, be with his brother Nephi. And he says, wherefore thy soul shall be blessed, and thou shalt dwell safely with thy brother Nephi. And thy days shall be spent in the service of thy God. Here it is. Wherefore I know thou art redeemed because of the righteousness of thy Redeemer. And then 4. And thou hast beheld in thy youth his glory. Wherefore thou art blessed, even as they unto whom he shall minister in the flesh. For the Spirit is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is also it. And the way is prepared from the fall of man, and salvation is free. What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Salvation's free? How does that align with what I've been taught?
Yeah. I know, it gets confusing, for sure.
Well,
until we dig deeper into the doctrine and find out.
Right, it's not that.
The doctrine, the truth. I think as a young child and you learn things in primary and young, you know, in youth programs and stuff, you interpret the best way you know how.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a belief.
Yeah.
And then it becomes like, this is the truth. And I would argue it to the bitter end. And so when I had to unlearn some of my truths that I learned incorrectly.
Like what?
Like thinking that I was going to earn my way to heaven. I mean, there's even a song about there's angels marking the good things and the bad things that we say. I mean, that to me is like there's a cop up there that, or somebody, you know, angels are taking record, and they know what all the good and all the bad that I'm doing, and I'm going to be judged for the good and the bad. So I better outdo the good and do more good than the bad. That was literally my belief system. And I truly believed that that's the way I was going to be judged in the last days. That I was going to stand before him and every one of my thoughts were going to be exposed to the world and all of my bad doings that I didn't repent correctly of. That was my belief. That was truly my whole belief system. And I remember as a child thinking, oh gosh, I hope, you know, I can repent of that. Whatever I just said or did or whatever, just because I knew that I had to earn my way back to heaven or back to Heavenly Father. Boy, I'm glad I unlearned that. I mean, that stresses me out talking about it.
Yeah, it's stressing me out hearing you talk about it because I had the same belief system. And I don't know that I was, I don't want anybody who's listening, mom and dad, or anybody else to feel like there's any blame here, because it's not. But I think this was kind of, and maybe kind of still is, a cultural thing. And I know that our religion does not have the corner on this. I have very close friends who are evangelicals, and a very close friend who's a Lutheran, and a very close friends. I belong to this group at work, and I'm literally this Christian group at work, and I'm literally the only LDS guy. And Deb, I'm telling you, we're not the only ones that struggle with this. And I think anybody who's trying to align their lives with Jesus has had this experience wherein we have felt condemned.
Yeah.
Condemned by our actions, condemned by just everything, you know, everything that our thoughts, our actions. And I don't want to be irreverent or flippant here because, you know, we do have onus. You know,
for sure.
We are responsible for the things we say. We are responsible for the actions that we take. However, we can't earn our way there.
Right. No matter how good we are and how well we pay tithing and say our prayers and read our scriptures and serve in all the church or whatever.
So.
And all the good deeds. Yes. But that's literally what I believed.
I know. Me too.
Pay more tithing to make it up.
Well, and the thing is, exactly right.
I'm not kidding. As silly as that sounds, that was my belief.
You paid extra tithing?
I have before, yes.
Okay.
I just wanted extra blessings.
There you go.
How absurd is that?
Well, I'm not going to call that absurd, but I'm not going to judge that. I mean, whatever.
That was my belief.
The thing about this.
You're laughing at me.
I'm laughing at all of us. I'm laughing at the entire.
You can laugh with me because I'm kind of laughing.
Human race, including myself, because we take ourselves far too seriously. We think we are far more powerful than we actually are. We can't redeem ourselves. We can't save ourselves. It's important that we align, and I don't want to be misunderstood.
Correct.
I don't want anybody to say, well, Brother Durfee or Scott or however you want to refer to me, said that we don't have to do anything to get back to the presence of our Heavenly Father. That's not true. It's just a different work, right? Like
right.
Brother Miller, like Adam Miller said, it's just a different work. It's still work.
Yeah.
The gospel points us wholly to Christ and His grace. Keeping the law of the gospel is the work of relying on Christ's merit.
Yeah, not our merits.
Period.
Exactly.
So
exclamation point.
What does that work look like, relying on the merits of Christ for you and me?
That means get out of the control panel, Deb.
Okay, so what does that look like? Do you want?
I have to literally have faith that He can make me whole. I have to have faith that He can save me. I have to have faith that He can forgive me for my sins. I have to align that my will and Thy will. I know I talk about this all the time, but it's that, oh, may my soul commune with Thee. I need to be led and guided and directed, because my thinking, some of my greatest thinking, got me in some serious trouble.
And you're not alone. You're not the only person that's had that experience. I have too. Many of our listeners have too. I think to some degree, all who experience this mortal existence, if we are honest with ourselves, have that same experience to some degree, right? You talked about having faith and how faith is kind of, did you say it was key?
Just have to have faith that there's a power greater than me, that Heavenly Father can make things better.
Okay.
That Jesus
is
going to save me from my carnal state. Let me just share a really, I know I've shared most of this story, but you know, as a 17-year-old girl that found myself pregnant, and I was in a place where there was not a human around me that could answer this question, was I knew I wasn't capable of raising a child. I'm not a mom and a dad. I'm a teenager, and I need what I needed to do at that point in my life was find a mom and a dad that would love my blood child the way I felt loved growing up.
Yeah.
And I remember looking at every human in my world thinking, nobody knows this answer. There is not a human that walks this planet that knows my answer. And at 17 years old, I fell to my knees and I said, Heavenly Father, I have a big story and this is a human. This is a human being that needs a home. And I know I am not capable of raising this child the way that You would want this child to be raised. And I literally pleaded with Him, saying, lead me, guide me. And I knew at 17 years old that He knew the answer to that. And I trusted that somehow He would tell me. And I would be led and guided by the inspiration and by His guidance. But it was a very vulnerable place for me to be. And the simple fact is, there was not a human that could answer this question or solve this problem or whatever. There just wasn't.
Yeah.
And I knew that He knew.
A lot of us have problems that we don't know how to solve. A lot of us have problems that we don't know where to turn or where to go. And maybe some of them feel as big as and are indeed as big as the one that you just described. Maybe some of them, by comparison, we would say, well, that's not as big a deal. I don't know that it would. It requires me to handle it the same way that Deb handled that. But what would you say to that? First off, how did you handle that? How did you come to him? You're 17 years old. You didn't just, you know, fold your arms, bow your head, and say a prayer and get an answer.
No, I didn't. I prayed fervently and often. And I just remember, and that was the first time that it was really impactful for me. Because believe me, that was not the first time I had to go vertical. I mean...
Okay, what do you mean by go vertical?
It is to seek Heavenly Father for my answers.
Okay, so you use... Can you remember where you were at? Because I want to explore this go vertical thing.
Yeah.
Okay, when you say go vertical as opposed to?
Horizontal.
Which means?
Asking others, asking people around me, getting advice from people that maybe had gone through it. And, you know, I did seek that.
Sure.
I did seek, I mean, there were other young girls that were in a similar situation that I was asking, that I was observing, that I was seeing these girls have a baby and keep it. I was seeing these girls have a baby and place it for adoption. I observed and I gathered as much information, and then I would journal and I would pray. And I didn't really, honestly, at that point, I did not read a ton of scriptures. I'm sure I did, but I don't remember diving into the scriptures. It was very hard for me to seek answers.
Yeah.
If I could get one scripture answers, I would open up and kind of point and plead that there would be some kind of answer there for me, because reading did not resonate with me at that time.
Well, you were still struggling with that reading.
For sure.
As part
for
of that, your learning disability
for
at
sure.
that point.
My
life.
Reading comprehension was very, very, very low. And they didn't have as easy accessible Audible
as we do now. We had no Audible. Let's be just...
You could buy a cassette tape. old
Zig Ziglar or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But it, I mean, I think for me, it was just like, Heavenly Father, I know you have this answer. And I know this child needs to be somewhere and not be raised by me or my family or, you know, whatever. And I think that it was that pivotal time for me that I learned how to be completely vulnerable.
Yeah.
To the point that it's like, I don't know. I really don't know. And as much as I was seeking, because there were days that it was like, no, I'm just going to keep her and my family will help me raise her. And then I'm like, no, this isn't fair. I was raised with this amazing dad that loved me. And this little child deserves a dad that loves it. It was a her. And it was clear to me in the end where this child needed to go. And, you know, I worked with a social worker that, you know, when I would make a decision, it was family A, B, C, D, E. And I would read their bio, what color hair they have, if they already had a child, what their interests, what their hobbies were. And there were certain things that were important to me. I was raised in a musical home. I wanted her to be raised in a musical home. I wanted her to have outdoor experiences like I did, camping and living in the great outdoors. And, you know, so there were little things there, but ultimately it was, again, on my knees pleading, lead me, guide me, walk beside me, help me find this way.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah. Where did that faith come from?
I guarantee it was from my upbringing. The song Love Is Spoken Here is my upbringing. I see my mother kneeling. My father was a valiant priesthood holder. We had family night, family prayer. I was raised in a really great home that taught me the importance of prayer.
Yeah. And obviously that instilled within you some faith.
Yeah, when you get in a really rough spot, you go kind of back to your roots.
You do. You really do. I, when it's appropriate at some point, I have a similar experience and a night where I was actually snatched, like it's talked about in Alma, just literally snatched out of my situation, out of my attitude, out of my problem, out of everything. It definitely the hand of God. But I've often asked myself that same question. That's why I asked you, because I don't know the answer. You know, where did that faith come from? You know, I don't know where that faith for me came from. In fact, I don't know that I had that much faith in the beginning when I began to find better alignment so that I could have joy in my life, better alignment with Heavenly Father's will for me.
I'm a true believer that all of us were born with the light of Christ. I really, truly believe that.
Yeah, that's doctrine for sure.
And I feel like when we know truth, there's something that resonates in us. I watch children, all children, and they know right and wrong.
Yeah.
They know truth.
Yeah.
And I think we all chose him, Jesus Christ. We all chose him. And that's why we are all here.
Chose him once.
Yeah, we chose him once in the pre-existence. When there was a plan presented, we chose we chose Heavenly Father's plan or we chose Satan's plan. And I know that every human being that walks this planet chose him once.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
There is no doubt in my mind. And I feel like when that truth resonates and the spirit is penetrated and we know that truth, I feel like every single human being that walks this planet has the ability to know truth. I shared this years ago. There was a little primary kid that I taught, and I said, when you feel the spirit, what do you feel? And I remember her telling me, and this is a little kid, she goes, I get the hiccups. And I was like, oh, that's cute. When you feel the spirit, you get hiccups. And I'm like, okay, what else? Oh, I have a warm feeling inside, or I get cold chills, or I get tears, or whatever. About 5 years later, this young girl was up at the pulpit bearing her testimony.
And got the hiccups.
And got the hiccups. Yeah. And I just wept. I was like, you recognize the spirit.
At a very young age.
How tender, how sweet. So however we feel it, it's not right or wrong. It just is.
Yeah.
That's how we feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure where it came from for me. I don't ever remember a time where it was just big and all of a sudden I knew that I had faith in Jesus. I knew that I had faith in what he had done for me. I do remember, though, not believing it, you know, not believing the church, but not believing that he did it all for me. I remember growing up thinking I needed to do it for me. And that was just a difficult spot to be in. And sometimes I still, because I don't know if it's programming, I don't know if it's DNA, I don't know what it is, but I know that sometimes when I've been feeling the way I've been feeling over the last week or so, just a little bit off the beam, you know, off the beam or on the beam, I'm off the beam. I've been feeling off the beam, so to speak. Something's amiss, you know, something's just not. And so often it's just me that has just kind of drifted away. Faith, and it is difficult. And for a lot of people, it's a new concept or a concept that has so much contextual principle to it that it's really kind of one that we don't really dive into much or talk about very much. But in Alma 32:21, it says, talking about faith, and now as I said concerning faith is not to have a perfect knowledge of things. Therefore, if you have faith, you hope for things which are not seen, which are true.
Yeah.
And so according to that, according to what I just read, if I have faith, I hope for things which are not seen, but they're true. I hope for things that are not seen, which are true. What does that mean? That means that when you're 17 years old and you're struggling the way that you're struggling and you're in that kind of despair, you hope.
You know, as much as desperate as I felt, I knew he knew. I knew he knew. There was not a question that I didn't wonder if he knew. I knew he knew. It was seeking that answer from him that what I needed to seek. So it wasn't, I was just hoping that I could hear that answer or be led to that answer or be guided to that answer. and let me hear you. Let me see how you speak to me. Let me hear and be led and guided. And you know, when I feel the Spirit, I have a warmth, a massive warmth in my heart. And I often will get chills and I often will tear up.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, there's my truth meter. That's true. And so I had to seek. I knew he knew, but I had to seek how to get that answer.
So how does this tie in then to merits of Christ, not my merits, but his merits? And then how does that tie into faith then and being able to overcome the things that keep us from joy?
Well, I think first off, the merits of Christ, I think for that situation, you know, seeing a 17-year-old pregnant was not the ideal situation. And because I had gone through the repentance process and I knew that this wrong could be made right, I felt like being immoral was next to murder in my belief system. And I remember thinking, and I remember seeing people that adopted babies, and I just thought, we were able to make this thing that was so, so wrong, so, so right because of the merits of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful that that terrible wrong could be made right. And I think to understand the faith, knowing I wasn't as worried about making it right for me because I felt like I had the merits to pay.
You felt like you needed to be punished.
I did.
I know.
I felt like I was being punished, and I felt like I needed to take my whoopings. That's literally kind of what I truly believed. And I think that's why I again got pregnant so soon after I placed that baby for adoption and had such a spiritual awakening and such a answering to prayers and so much faith. And I think that's why it was because I felt like this was all I deserved. And it was such a messed up belief system that my perception was that it was a really big sin. Even though it's made right, I didn't allow him. That's where my faith was weak, is I didn't have the faith that I knew he was going to make that situation right, but I didn't have the faith that he was going to make me right.
Yeah. At the end of the fifth chapter, or where we read in the fifth chapter of Alcoholics Anonymous, do you remember that? That we believe that God could and would if he were sought, right?
Yeah.
I always believed he could. I just didn't know he would for me.
Yeah, and I think that's where I got tripped up.
Right.
Is because that was the ultimate sin. I mean, that was like, oh my gosh, no hiding it, no. Even though we tried to hide it, it was just like, there was just no, I mean, I just felt like, you know.
For sure, yeah.
I deserve it.
For me, it really is all about that, you know, that God could and would if he were sought. I believed that he could, so I must have had some faith in him. And I believed that he would for others, but I just never would believe that he would for me, Deb. And I think that's the case for me because I felt like that I had to pay it back. I had to earn it back. I had to rely on my own merit.
Yeah.
And relying on my own merit really robs me of the experience of faith.
Yeah. 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 Now that we talk about that, that's interesting to have that perception of, yeah, I had the faith that he could make that wrong right, but I didn't have the faith that he was going to make me right.
Not for me.
Yeah. I think that's where I got tripped up.
And the reason I adopted that is because I knew better. Because where much is given, much is expected.
Right.
Right? I was raised in the kind of...
not enough.
I was raised in the same type of family you were. We did family night. We read scriptures. We did all of the same things. And, you know, obviously, we can do all that's right, and our kids won't always turn out exactly the way we want them to.
Dang kids have free agency.
I know that was the case for me and my parents, much to their chagrin. They're such wonderful people and have forgiven and all that today. But The point is it's like I believed that I knew better, and because I knew better, I was being held to a higher standard. The fall was less effective in my life for some mysterious reason, and because of that, I needed to pay for the stupid stuff I did.
Yep. And I think that's where I got tripped up again.
Really?
Yeah. Is because I just felt like I had to pay and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Those merits. That was a real belief for me, is that I had to earn my own.
If I believe that it's my merits that count over his, it robs me of the experience of faith.
Well, even the and repentance. Faith unto him and faith unto repentance.
There's no repentance without faith.
No, 100%.
There's no coming unto him without faith. And, and there's so many levels, though, of faith.
You know, it was,
so many.
Yeah, it was right after that that I went and got my patriarchal blessing, right after I had that first baby. And I just remember thinking, I'm in alignment. Because I was doing the things that I thought I was supposed to do.
Of course.
And what I was missing was that wholly relying on him still. Because I was like, hey, he got me through that. Now I got this.
Yeah, but you know, cut yourself some slack there too, because you were learning how.
True.
And I think,
grateful I learned.
And I think that's for all of us. I think that, you know, when it comes to this kind of stuff, we really need to be gentle with ourselves.
Oh, for sure.
We really need to extend ourselves a lot of grace, because it's really easy for me to sit here in this situation, 26, almost 27 now years, can you believe that? Almost 27 years now sober. And it's a lot different here today, Deb, than it was then.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I get it. And I know that we have listeners, and I know that we have friends and loved ones and others that are out there that are just in different stages of this whole process. And there are so many levels of faith. You know, we just begin to talk about just a little bit of faith in Jesus, right? Faith, and then faith in Jesus Christ. Anybody can have faith, right? But it's really faith in Jesus Christ is when we start talking about the doctrine of Christ. Faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in what in Jesus Christ? Faith in all that he did, right? Faith in Alma chapter 7, faith in Alma 32:21, faith in all of that. We're getting to the point now where I think if we start taking on more on faith tonight, that we won't be able to do it justice. And so we'll kind of move that discussion to next week. But for this week, maybe we can do our own personal inventory. I began the podcast tonight talking about a personal inventory that I've been doing. And, you know, maybe the rest of us can too, at least to a little bit degree. Just do a little personal inventory on where am I? Where am I? How much do I trust? How much faith do I have? Does the faith that I have power in it? Does it motivate me? Does it drive me to repentance? Does it help me come closer to him? And so, you know, maybe throughout this week, as we prepare for the sacrament coming up Sunday, maybe we can just take that challenge on, babe.
I just love again in that quote from Adam Miller about rely wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. I think that's such a critical piece for me to remember, because I rely, there were often times I rely partially on him, but I was not relying wholly on him that can save.
I can't wait to have Nick on again.
I know.
I love his perspective on that, right? He thought that he could only get to him through the church and through certain other things. You know, we don't have the corner on a relationship with him, and anybody who can exercise faith in him can have relief from the sins of the fallen world. We just can.
Yeah. And I think it's also great to hear how people come to Christ in their own,
own
sweet ways. And I seek for that.
I do too.
I look for ways that people seek him.
Right.
And I'm interested in them sharing with me how they find him. And whether it's through prayer, I go back to when we were in Israel and we were at the River Jordan, and just watching all of those people in one way or another, just finding their way to Jesus.
Yeah, describe that. Describe that picture.
There were hundreds and hundreds of people there. It's a tourist site now, and it's concrete and stairs and restrooms, and there's tour guides everywhere, and there are people there of all denominations.
This is the traditional site where Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist.
Correct.
The traditional site. We don't know for sure where that was, but this is the traditional site.
But this is where all the tour buses go, and this is where everybody goes to say, this is where Jesus Christ was baptized by John the Baptist. And as we approach, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people there. And some of them are in white robes, and some of them are just in a pair of shorts, and some of them, I mean, it just, like, tons of people. Some of them are in the water, dripping water on the head, and there's preachers and pastors and all kinds of people ministering and helping baptize in any way they knew how.
To come unto him.
And I remember in the noise thinking, well, there is a lot going on here, and this was not the traditional way I knew Jesus to be baptized. And I thought, okay, push pause, Deb. And I backed up and I went up the stairs and I looked down on this river and I watched all of the hundreds of people trying to touch that sacred water and to find Jesus somehow. And I looked up to the sky and I just said, oh, Heavenly Father, I bet this just makes your heart so warm that all of these hundreds and hundreds of people are following your son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
They just want to be like you, like him, to get to Heavenly Father.
Right.
I was so overwhelmed with that goodness that was among there. Any way they found him, whatever it looked like, they were all trying to get to Jesus, period. They just were seeking him.
The one needful thing.
Yes.
The one needful thing. We have a picture, and I'll just end with this, but we have a picture in our living room from that very trip. I've talked about it on the podcast before, but this is the woman who had been, what do you call it?
Issue of blood.
She had the issue of blood for 12 years. This is the woman who had the issue of blood for 12 years and through her faith reached through the crowd and just was able, because of her faith, to touch the hem of the Savior. And he felt a virtue leave him. He felt that. He felt that healing take place. He even knew. Hadn't gone through the events, all of the events of the atonement yet, but he had felt that and through her faith was able to be healed. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. It's just our ability to reach through the crowd, to reach through the busyness of our world, to reach through the confusion, through the hecticness, through all that's coming at us from every single direction, and find even in the chaos the ability to reach through and just with our finger touch the hem of him who heals.
Yeah.
I'm grateful. I'm grateful that when I get off the beam, I know how to get back on. I'm grateful that I know that when I feel that my life has drifted a little bit, that he's not wringing his hands. He's not worried about me. He's not mad at me. He's just waiting for me to come back to say, welcome home. You know, here you are again, you know. And I'm not talking about major sin, or I'm just talking about a spiritual drift.
Alignment. Yeah.
A spiritual drift. And you know, I'm human. And I just hope that I can always know that through the Spirit of the Holy Ghost, that all those things can be administered and all the blessings of Christ's atonement can be ministered into my life, and I'm grateful for that today. I guess, Deb, as we kind of just wrap it up today, just like always, we want to say to you, our listeners, that wherever you are and however you're feeling, you're welcome to be here with us. We hope that you find hope and healing as you do. Jesus isn't waiting for you to clean everything up. Thank goodness. He's just waiting for us to come to him.
Yep. He meets us in the middle of our mess and our chaos and our crazy, especially when we seek him. That's where his grace shines the brightest. So come as you are, broken, hopeful, questioning, searching, you truly are not alone, and neither are we.
Yeah.
So thanks for being here.
Yeah, we'd also love to stay connected. We've made a little push on social media. I'm the one doing it, so it's pretty, I don't know, not very great, but we're trying to do that. No big deal. If you want to like us, find us, share us, that's great. But we really love your questions. We love your comments. We've had a couple of conversations going on via email currently and are really enjoying that opportunity, stuff that we have been asked not to really talk about on the podcast. But if you have questions that you'd like us to, we'd be more than happy to address those here as well. And you can do that at heredeemsus@gmail.com.
And if this episode touched you or any other episode touched your heart, we hope that you share it with someone you love and care about, a friend, a family member, anyone who could use a little bit more hope and faith.
Yeah. Next week, we're going to continue our discussion on faith. We're going to learn about how the Savior doesn't just redeem us. He heals us. He lifts us. He transforms us.
Thanks for being with us, everyone. And remember, there is always hope through Him because you have been redeemed through His blood.
We love you. God be with you. Until next time, be well.